But we are so thankful that you are here today. We want to welcome you students. We have been looking forward to your getting back. We've had a fine summer, I think. But you mean so much to us. I think we can already tell a difference in with singing. We have good singing here all the time. Brother McKnight is an excellent song leader. Others do a good job. But when we get all these young people back in our midst, our singing here is just tremendous. And we're thankful for that. We want you students to know that we want you in our services. And we want to be of service to you. And we have this organized. If you need anything in general, day or night, Judy and I live on the corner right back here. If you need any money, David and Kathy live in the house just across the street. We have everything organized. Now, seriously, if we can help any of you in any way at any time, day or night, and we don't just say that, we mean it. Let us know. Let us help you in any way that we can. We're thankful for all the other visitors. Judy and I have three of our grandchildren, a daughter-in-law here today. And we're thankful to have them in our midst. If you were to visit a cemetery and look at the headstones that are there at the graves where people are buried, you would notice perhaps on every tombstone that there are two dates. There's a date of birth and there's a date of death. We talk a lot about those dates. We emphasize them. But there's something else on that tombstone that I think is more important than either of those dates. It's rather small, but usually it's between the two dates if they're side by side. And it's a little mark that we call the dash. The reason I emphasize that this morning is that you have little or no control over your birthday or your death day. But you do have some control over what's between. And it really doesn't make much difference when you were born or when you die. What matters is what's included in that little dash that's in between. Many of you are here this morning for the first time to begin your studies at Freed Hardeman University. You will be a student there beginning this year. And on the outline that you have under school days, I have put 1999 to 2004. That would be true if you get your master's degree. But that should be 2003, we hope. In some cases, it may be 2004. But you're going to have 4 years here, 1999 to 2003, or maybe stay another year to 2004. And later on, when you fill out a resume or write a resume to give for someone to consider when you're looking at a job, you'll probably, under the subject of education, put 1999 to 2003 or 2004, as the case may be, for the years, to describe the years that you were in school at Freed Hardeman University. Those dates are important. They will be important to the one who's going to consider your resume. Later on, as you look back, when you've become an alumnus of the school and you're looking back, those dates will be important. But I submit to you that 1999 to 2003 is not nearly as important as that little dash that's in between. A few minutes ago, Tony read from Psalms 90. Usually, when we're looking at that chapter, we look at the first 6 or 7 or 8 verses that talk about how uncertain life is, how it's like a flower that comes up and then goes away like that. And there's probably not a preacher in the audience who has not used verse 10 out of that chapter that talks about life being 80 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. But I submit to you that the two important verses in that chapter are verse 9 and verse 12. In the King James Version, in verse 9, the statement is made, we spend our lives as a tale that is told. Now, that's just another way of saying, I'm writing a book with my life, and you're writing a book with yours. We spend our lives as a tale that is told. Doesn't matter when that life began so much, and it really doesn't matter as much when it ends as it does what's in between. We spend our lives as a tale that is told. And then there is the statement in verse 12 that says, teach us to number our days. I believe there's more involved in that statement than just simply adding up how long we have lived. But rather it is saying, teach us to take advantage of our days. Teach us to realize that each day that is numbered in my life is important. And I need to take advantage of that day while I have it. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, is in the provocation over in the letter to the Hebrews. It's that dash, folks, that's between the birth and the death, or between the beginning of something and the end of something, that is important. I want to especially dedicate this lesson this morning to our students at Freed Hardeman. It applies to all of us, but we're especially thinking of you today. And I want to emphasize to you that during the time that you are a student here, God expects you to continue to live. There have been those in the past who thought if you were going to live a Christian life, you had to go somewhere in a monastery and get away from people. One only has to study the life of Christ to realize that that's not the case. And even sometimes when we begin a college education or a university education, maybe we sort of say to ourselves, now for the next 4 years, I've just got to think about studying. Think about studying and nothing else. Well, I'll assure you that's not exactly the case in every case here, but I'm here to tell you today that that's not the only thing that you ought to be thinking about. God wants you to continue to live. You're still a son or a daughter to your parents. They may go back home today or may have already returned. There may be some tears shed because of separation for the first time, but you need to remember that you are still a son and a daughter. You need to remember that you have friends back at home and you'll be making new friends here. And if there is any time in your life that you need many friends, it's while you're in your college education years. You need the Lord. You need to live for the Lord. And you need to be sure that you don't forget Him. It is a little bit discouraging sometimes to see young people, 17, 18, 19 years of age, who have never missed a Bible class in their lives, come to Freed Hardeman or go to some school and then begin to miss Bible class on Sunday morning or Bible class on Wednesday evening and maybe miss some of the services and not be as involved in the Lord's work as they were before. I'm here to tell you today that you need to live during the time that you're getting your education. Now, I didn't say live it up, and I didn't say live in the fast lane. And I didn't say forget your studies and things such as that and just see all the fun and enjoyment you can have. That's not what I said at all. But I am saying that during the time that you're involved in getting your college education, that you need to remember that every day of those years is a day that you need to live and to enjoy life. We have a tendency to emphasize the dates instead of the dash. When something began and when it ended. They're also under school days. At point B, I put 1958-1960. Those were the years that I was a student at Freed Hardeman College. But during that dash, a lot happened. I picked up a wife January the 25th, 1960. When I graduated from Freed Hardeman in 1960 in May the 26th on my birthday, we were expecting our first child. During the time that I was here at Freed Hardeman, I think I was in every extracurricular activity except the home ec club, and they wouldn't let me in it. I wasn't good enough to make the varsity ball teams, but I enjoyed intramurals. There was time to study, and there was time to live. And I believe that the same thing is true today, and that God expects us to live and to enjoy each day. And I'm going to promise you something, students. If you will approach the next 4 years or however many years you're involved in getting your education, maybe going on to higher education, if you will approach it with the idea that you are a Christian, you are related to God, you are related to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a family, you have friends, you have opportunities, you have challenges, I'll guarantee you that you'll even make better grades and be more successful when you learn how to live. That motto of Freed Hardeman University is not just by accident. learning how to live and make a living. It is important for you to learn to make a living in order to support yourself and others, and even to help the Lord's work be spread. But folks, it is more important to learn how to live. And that's that dash that's in between the dates. Under the workplace, 1974 to 1987, if the history of my life is ever written, those dates will be given, and out from it, Tullahoma, Tennessee. I had the privilege to preach for a little over 13 years for the Grundy Street Church in Tullahoma before I moved here. Those dates look important. I remember the day we moved there. I remember the day we left there. But those days are not that important compared to that little dash that's in between. All four of our children went to high school and college during that dash. Some of them even got married during that dash. When I think of the sermons that were preached, the people that I had the opportunity to baptize, the funerals I conducted, the marriages that I was involved in helping people to begin their lives, the gospel meetings involved, a very important part of our life is suggested by that dash between 1974 and 1987. Right under that, you see the years 1969-1990. Those are the years that appear by the name of E. Claude Gardner as president of Fried Hardeman University. And right under that, in most books, will begin 1990 by the name of Milton Sewell, and there will be a dash, and then maybe 2050 or somewhere a little short of that. But you know, when you look back at what was accomplished during Brother Gardner's tenure as president of Fried Hardeman University, think about what's represented by that dash. Went from 2 years to 4 years during the time of that dash. When you think about what will be represented by the dash in Brother Sewell's tenure, think about all that's taken place and is taking place, and if God lets this earth continue, will take place. It's not really important which year one of them began or which year one of them ends, as it is what's done in between. I mentioned a few minutes ago that if you go to the cemetery and look on the headstone, that you'll find a date of birth and a date of death, and many times a dash between 1998, 82 years old, appears on a tombstone in John L. Clark Memorial Cemetery near Gainesboro, Tennessee. That's where we buried my dad. That 1915 is something over which he had no control. That 1998 is something over which none of us had any control, but that little dash represents a life of 82 years of a man who had only an eighth grade education, but who worked hard to support his family and to be able to help people in the community, served as a deacon in the church, and left a history behind that makes it easy for me to go back to that area and preach the gospel. Right under that, you see the dates of 1910-1960. If you were to go from my dad's grave about as far as from here to David and Kathy's house, you'd see a tombstone where Judy's dad and mother are buried. And those are the dates of her dad's life. In February, during the Fried Hardeman lectureship, I'll have an opportunity to present a lesson about the life of Ben Anderson, Judy's dad. We don't understand yet why he was taken at age 50, at a time when he was right in the prime of his life, when he was preaching the gospel, a sound gospel preacher, a man who served so many, did so much good. But it doesn't really make any difference the date that he was born or that date that he was killed in an automobile accident as it does what was in between. I have even no idea, and Judy doesn't even understand to the 100th degree or nth degree how many people Brother Anderson affected during his life, during that dash that's in between the date of his birth and the date of his death. And then I put 0-33. Depending on what calendar you're using, that might be a little different, but basing it on the fact that our calendar is supposed to be from the time of Jesus' birth, 0-33 represents the life of Jesus. Now, there was more significance to the birth of Jesus, and there was more significance to the death of Jesus than any of these others we've mentioned. But really, it's what's represented by that dash that makes it so important to us today. The fact that he lived, set the right example for us, showed us how to deal with all the different aspects of life, and then came to that last week of his life. That last week is involved in that dash where he was shedding his blood and where he was in agony on the cross. All of that is involved in that dash. And that's what means so much to us today. Not just the fact that he was born and the fact that he died, but what went in between that birth and death that made the whole concept of Jesus coming to this world so important to us as a Savior. You see, it's what's in life that really is meaningful as we prepare for the time of death to be ready when this life is over. What I'm saying, folks, is we need to learn how to live. Now, there'll come a time when we need to learn how to die. We need to be ready to die. But until that time comes, we need to learn how to live. Whether we're in school, on the job, at home, in the community, a teenager, a college student, middle-aged adult, older adult, it doesn't make any difference. Where we are, who we are, we need to learn how to live. Just think about some of these scriptures for a moment. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Galatians 2:20. One of my favorite verses on this subject. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. 5 times in that one verse, he talks about living. Yes, living in Christ. Yes, Christ living in me. Yes, in a sense, crucified, putting that old man of sin to death, but then living. Even Romans 6 says to rise to walk in newness of life. One of the greatest things that was ever said about Jesus Christ in a short phrase that describes the entirety of his life is Acts 10:38. He went about doing good. Now, wherever you are today in life, you need to be living, and that means doing good, serving other people, helping other people. But he shall receive 100-fold in this time. This time, right now. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and lands. And in the world to come, eternal life. That's Mark 10, verse 30. Oh, I'm sure you would agree with me that we need to be concerned about eternal life. We need to be preparing for eternal life. But in that same verse that says we want eternal life, it says we've got something right now, in this time. And you notice what he mentions, houses and lands, and he mentions people. Brothers and sisters and mothers and children and wives, relationships. What's he saying? While we're getting ready for that great home up yonder, we need to enjoy what we have here. We need to learn to live. We need to put that dash in the proper perspective. John 10:10, he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I don't believe he's just talking about eternal life there. And I think if you'll study the context, you'll see that. He's talking about an abundant life. And who ought to have more of an abundant life than a Christian? Nobody. He's talking about life. He's talking about living, that dash that's between the birth and death. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body. That's why we're alive. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're going to give an account for the way we've lived. What have we done? Not how many years did we live, how many years were we on the earth, how many years were we at Fried Hardeman, how many years were we in Henderson, but what did we do with those years? How did we use them? Ephesians 2:10, just after emphasizing the greatness of God's grace that makes salvation available to us and our faith that accepts that fact, he says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now don't misunderstand. Not by any stretch of the imagination are we suggesting that we can merit our salvation or that we can earn it. That's not what he's talking about. But he's talking about works of obedience and works of service. In fact, in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 7, he says, show yourself a pattern of good works. At verse 14, be zealous of good works. Chapter 3, verse 1, be ready for good works. 3, verse 8 and 14, about the same thing, be careful to maintain good works. What's he talking about? He's talking about living, serving, having friends, being involved in mutual encouragement with our friends and helping them, and they're helping us in every way. Toward the end of the book of Revelation at chapter 20, verses 12 and 13, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the dash, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell or Hades delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. That's the dash that we're talking about. It's living, living every day, living right according to God's will, living to serve others, living to serve God, but living and putting something in that dash that's between the day of birth and the day of death. Folks, you didn't control your day of birth. And God is still in power as far as your day of death is concerned. But with his help, you can control what's represented by that dash. In your family, in the community, you can control it. You can do something about it. Some of you have not even put obedience to the gospel and becoming a Christian into that dash yet. You need to make the step today to confess Christ and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. Perhaps some of you have done that, but you've let the dash become a little shortened in that you're not living as you should, and you need to get your life right with God, maybe even asking for prayers on your behalf by those that are present today. Remember, you can't control the day of birth. You can't control the day of death. But you can control the dash that's in between. What are you putting in your life today? Are you living for Christ? If not, come to him as together we stand and sing.
Right with God. Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion or self and or sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight.